Greetings, beloved. It's once again our joy to be together for another study in this course, What the Bible Teaches. And today's session brings us, of course, to lesson number 8. Now, lesson 8 deals with a very vital subject, the subject of salvation. You have your Bible with you, and you have your manual as well, I'm sure, and perhaps it's open right now to the proper page. That's page 41. And this lesson on salvation runs through to page 44 of our manual, What the Bible Teaches. I'm taking it for granted that you're keeping up with your tests, that you've already finished test number 7, and what we shall have before us today will prepare us for the answers, the correct answers to test number 8. And then, of course, you'll look over number 9 before we come together for our next session. All right. Let's open our Bibles today to the book of the Acts. The book of the Acts. And shall we look together at verse 26? Now, as I said, lesson number 8 concerns salvation. And we have a word here that I think is very appropriate. Acts 13:26. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. Notice the words, this salvation. Now, if you've already scanned over lesson number 8, you will have been impressed by the fact that it's very comprehensive. It not only deals with a vital subject, but it's very all-embracive, I think. It falls into 7 divisions. First of all, we have the definition of salvation. Then its necessity, its provision, its condition, and then under Roman numeral 5, its assurance, its scope, and finally, a glance at the results of salvation. Now, I've been noticing the large, generous sprinkling of scripture texts throughout this lesson. You see them at the bottom of page 41. Yes, and at the top of page 42. In fact, all through the lesson, there are many, many references given. Now, these references should be looked up, and they should be memorized if possible. All right, unto you is the word of this salvation sent. On the 9th of July, 1960, a young lad by the name of Roger Woodward was acclaimed as the only person in history to survive a plunge over the Niagara Falls. Perhaps you may remember the incident. It was a stirring story. On that particular afternoon, young Roger and a friend had been boating some distance above the falls when their motor stalled. Well, they tried to roll the boat, but a wave capsized and over they went into the water. The friend vanished, but Roger was wearing a life jacket, and in a few moments he was flung over the lip of the falls and he plunged 162 feet over the precipice into the whirling maelstrom below. Well, providentially, the tourist boat, Maid of the Mist, was near the bottom of the falls. The captain noticed the bobbing object in the water, and then he heard a faint cry above all the roar of the falls, a faint cry for help. A life ring was thrown toward the boy, and he grasped it and was pulled to safety. And, you know, the whole incident was acclaimed a miracle. But that's not the end of the story. About a year later, another miracle took place in the life of Roger Woodward. He was vacationing at a Bible camp in New York, and he heard the gospel of God's salvation. And realizing that his soul was drifting to a lost eternity, that young fellow appropriated God's salvation by receiving Christ as his personal Savior. And you know, in giving his testimony, Roger said something that was really worthwhile. He gave his testimony and he said this. He said, "I guess the Lord saved me the first time so that I could be saved the second time." Well said, Roger. And you know, friends, although Roger's second experience, I said tabernacle in his verse. Now, in our lesson today, we are considering not only the definition of salvation, which is simply deliverance, or, if you like, rescue, but also the need for salvation, and then the provision that God has made, that's under Roman numeral 3, and then, under 4, the condition of salvation. I think that these three points are clearly illustrated in Roger Woodward's experience, don't you? For, number one, he needed to be saved. That was very obvious. And then, secondly, he could not save himself. And thirdly, provision was made for his salvation, and he laid hold of it. Of course, many people today don't realize their need. And those of us who are Christians and Christian workers should lay to heart the scriptures that are indicated under Roman numeral 2, under the necessity for salvation. These scriptures, such as Romans 5:12, 18, 19, Romans 6:16, Romans 8:5-8, Genesis 6:5, and so on. We should read these scriptures and tuck them away in our memory. For after all, there's no use trying to lead folks to a knowledge of God's salvation if they are unaware of their lost condition and their need. Someone has said that sinners are as plenteous as cobblestones, but lost sinners are as rare as diamonds. And isn't that true? Most people are unaware of their need for salvation. And we need to pray that the Holy Spirit will use us in the quotation of these scriptures to bring to their consciousness their lost condition. And then again, going back to our illustration, this young fellow could not save himself. Some people know that they're not right with God, but to think that it lies within their ability to make themselves acceptable to God. Well, they need to be taught that God hates sin, and that man is without strength. And Romans 5 and 8 means what it says when it declares, when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. That means, of course, that we have no ability whatsoever to effect our own eternal rescue. But then, returning again to our illustration, a provision was made for that boy's rescue. A life belt was tossed to him. God has provided for our salvation, as we've been already seeing in our studies, and which we already notice under Roman numeral 3. On page 42, Christ came to be the Savior of sinners. Matthew 1:21, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And then the condition. Oh, man must repent. He must realize his guilt. And he must change his attitude towards sin. And toward God, and toward Christ. Sin is really self-judgment, turning away from oneself, acknowledging to the doctor that the doctor's diagnosis of the disease is absolutely correct, that the X-ray plates declare and reveal that cancerous tumor that will lead inevitably to death unless steps are taken for its removal. Repentance, then, is acknowledging the righteousness of the sentence. And then he must believe the gospel and accept the Lord Jesus Christ by a definite act of his will as his own personal Savior, acknowledging him to be supreme Lord. In other words, the provision has been made by God in Christ. That's the life ring. That's the life belt. But faith lays hold on that. The hand of faith on the part of the sinner lays hold of the provision that God has made in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then assurance of salvation
comes from the Word of God. Now there's an array of texts here in the middle of page 43 dealing with the assurance of salvation. Acts 13:38. Does that mean anything to you without turning to your New Testament? Can you quote it? Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. Acts 13:38-39. What about 1 John 2:12 and Ephesians 2:8 and so on? These are scriptures that provide clear, ringing assurance to the soul that has laid hold of the Lord Jesus Christ. Scripture is very emphatic on this. God has pledged himself to save to the uttermost with an eternal salvation all who are relying entirely upon his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. But then, we learn that salvation has a threefold aspect. Under Roman numeral 6, we learn that salvation has a view to the past, the present, and the future. It's been often put like this. We are saved from sin's penalty by the death of Christ. We are being saved from sin's power by the life of Christ on the throne, and we shall be saved from sin's presence at the second coming of Christ, when our bodies will be redeemed. You see, his work on the cross took care of the redemption of our souls. His coming again will take care of the redemption of our bodies. May God bless you then.